This is Jaguars.com Live. A weekly look inside the Jacksonville Jaguars organization. Jaguars.com Live starts right now.
Good afternoon. You're looking at Houston, Texas, site of Super Bowl 51, and we're a day closer to the festivities beginning. Well, let's be honest, they began on Monday. The game is, of course, on Sunday, and all week long, they keep it rolling. So, from Houston, Texas, and here in Jacksonville at Everbank Field, this is Jaguars.com Live, presented by Everbank. I'm Brian Sexton, and we've got a big show for you today as we get closer to the real reason, by the way, that we're so focused on Houston this week, which is the Hall of Fame voting, which takes place on Saturday. Tony Boselli, obviously, the Jaguars' most prominent candidate, the most likely first Jaguar in, and we'll find out whether or not he makes it in 2017 and would be enshrined in August in Canton, Ohio. So here's what we've got in store for you on Jaguars.com Live today. Again, from Jacksonville and in Houston, we'll have Pete Prisco from CBSSports.com joining John Osier. And that obviously gives you great perspective on Boselli's career. Pete was here working with John at the Florida Times Union when Tony was drafted, and all the way through his career until he left in the expansion draft. And Pete, obviously working on a national basis, gives you plenty of perspective. The game is the central focus this week, but the Hall of Fame is obviously something that many people have their sights set on. They bring a miniature version of it with them and set it up in Houston so that people can experience the history and tradition of the game, even as they're looking towards the latest championship game. And you see some of the busts there. Perhaps we'll see, you see Brett Favre, perhaps we will see Tony Boselli's name on Saturday evening as a member of the class of 2017. Just great names from my youth there, Staubach and Ham, when the Steelers and the Cowboys played in so many great Super Bowl games. But that is on Saturday. There's still lots to talk about with respect to where the process is and how things are going. And John Osier got a chance to talk to a few of the men who will be in the room debating and then ultimately voting for this year's class as they made their way through the media center today.
I'm anxious to hear what they have to say about Tony. I'm anxious to hear what they have to say about all 15 of these candidates, because these are all Hall of Famers, and it becomes a matter of when you get in. But the fact that Tony's here, and we all know what kind of player he was. You know, this is a fairly young selection committee, and they all saw Tony Boselli play. So it's fresh in mind what a great player he was.
I think he was recognized as one of the best of his era. So now the question is he deserving of the Hall of Fame, where longevity is an issue? And that's going to be the question. But the big deal for him is the fact that he's in the room. I mean, 2 years ago, he wasn't even a semifinalist, which is one of the top 25 finalists, the top 15. It's all about making cuts.
But Joe Jacoby would make it, and this is no knock on Joe Jacoby. It shows you that, okay, in time, Tony Boselli can make it. Because, I mean, Joe was nowhere for such a long period of time. And so enough people started pushing him. Enough people have been trying to push Mike Ken. If that push starts to work, and there's definitely a push for Tony Boselli, that gets the momentum if it doesn't happen this year. So, you know, you judge everything by how things go year to year and how the flavor of the room goes. Because, again, our mission is to get everybody in, but we can only get five in a year.
You know, in the media world that we live in today, everyone's trying to give you so much. It would be interesting to put cameras in the room to listen to the debate, which goes on for hours, as people make their case for their particular candidate. Now, Pete Prisco doesn't have the vote. He's with John Osier right now out in Houston. We're going there in a moment, but the issue here is that Pete knows the career, and he has been working and talking on behalf of Tony over the last couple of days, weeks, and even months to ensure that he gets a fair shot this time, and that's obviously something that John's going to talk about with him. So, John, we'll send it to you out in sunny Houston.
Well, thank you, Brian. And, Pete, we're going to take some extra time with this today because it feels to me like there's a perspective that you have and me a little bit from having been around Tony in the 90s, from really having seen his whole career. And now you certainly have the perspective of, for the last really 2 years, doing what I think is a really admirable, unbelievable job, pushing him with guys in the room. And by guys in the room, I just mean the Hall of Fame voters. I guess first, talk to me about why it's so important for you to be making Tony's case.
Well, first off, I know him very well,
sure.
So that helps. But also, the guy is deserving.
Right.
And it's injustice that he hasn't been in the room up until this point, for me. Because I'm a big believer. Look, I'm not just going to sit here and bang the drum for just about anybody. I mean, I sincerely believe with my own two eyes that he's maybe the best. I mean, Anthony Munoz, to me, is probably the best. But Tony's right there. Walter Jones, too. Those are the three.
Right.
In my time, really deep diving into football, those are the three best I've ever seen. And so, from that standpoint, to have him be this outsider for a couple years, and people don't even give him the time of day a lot of the time because of how many years he played in the league, it's just an injustice. So that's the reason I'm banging the
right.
drum for him.
And it feels like, and I talked to John Clayton and Rick Goslin and Clark Judge and Sal Palantonio, Peter King yesterday. All of these guys, they don't reveal their vote, obviously. But from talking to them, from knowing these guys over the years, it certainly sounds like they have an understanding of how good Tony was, how his credentials stack up, that it certainly feels like time to get him into the conversation on a serious level. Obviously, the chips fall where they may once you're in the conversations, you get a vote. Are you getting the feeling that the winds are changing?
I do. And a lot of, you mentioned a lot of them, a lot of the strong voices in that room
right.
are coming around to Tony's case. And they're smart. They're football guys. They've done the work on it. They've realized that this is a great, great, great player.
Right.
So let's not hold him back anymore. Get him in the room. Get him in the Hall of Fame where he deserves to be in. Now, there is the other group in that room, which I've had in the last couple of weeks. I've been months and years been banging those guys down a little bit.
Mainly younger guys.
Younger
maybe
guys.
Haven't talked about Tony as much.
Correct. Right? And I've gotten through to a lot of those guys. And when you point out that he started more games than Dwight Stevenson, or that he's only a few behind Mike Ditka and Gale Sayers.
Yeah, Dwight Stevenson, a very similar case in the sense that he was obviously the best center of his era and maybe ever, played for the Dolphins a short period of time, cut short by injuries, almost a parallel situation.
Except Tony started more games. I mean,
right.
it's close, though. It's really close. So, yeah, and Tony was every bit as good at his position as Dwight Stevenson was at his. And so that's the case you got to make to these young guys. Because, you know, people remember Dwight Stevenson. You know, one of the guys said to me, he goes, ah, it's a different era. So what? The same number of games, the same. It doesn't matter.
It was the 80s. It really wasn't a different era. It was the passing era. It was when center started to matter. If anything, a center started to matter at that point.
Right.
Left tackle truly started to matter with LT, and Tony was the best of his generation.
And you got to point out all the little things to guys, too. Like, for example, Tony was singled up in seven-step drops.
Right.
I mean, that didn't happen to a lot of left tackles in the league.
And hasn't happened a lot since.
No. No, I mean, you're talking about, like, I'll give you an example. Orlando Pace played in the, and he was a good player, really good player. He wasn't as good as Tony, but he played in the greatest show on turf, right?
Right?
They were all 3 5-step drops, balls out, quick. You're not.
Right. Rarely went seven.
You know what hurt? I'll give you something that hurt Tony early in the whole process is the old Dr. Z saying Tony Vaselli wasn't a good run blocker, which was so far
absurd.
From the truth.
Right.
But that got in there and got in people's heads, and he was wrong. And guys, you got to go back and look at it and see, no, he was a really good run blocker.
Part of the stat package, I believe, that Dan Edwards put out, Dan Edwards being the vice president of communication for the Jaguars, is statistically that wasn't the case. Statistically, he was absolutely not just a good run blocker, a great run blocker.
Well, Natron Means ran by him in the Buffalo game. It was all to that side.
Right.
I mean, he destroyed Bruce Smith in the run game there. I mean,
many 1,000-yard rushers, James Stewart, Fred Taylor,
yes.
Natron Means, all productive players
yes.
in the Jaguars offense.
Tony was a great, great, great player. We can sit here and think about multiple sack games,
right.
okay? I don't remember anybody. He remembered one against John Randall, but I said, wait a second, Jonathan Quinn was 12 yards behind the line of scrimmage when he got sacked on
right,
that play.
Jonathan Quinn, the third-team quarterback
right.
who was playing that night.
Right.
So.
But, you know, in fairness to Tony, he did mention that. But, look, he handled the dominant players of the era. He
right.
dominated them. He dominated Jason Taylor, okay?
Right.
Jason Taylor's up for the Hall this week. Tony dominated him. He dominated Derek Thomas when Derek Thomas had 6 sacks the week before.
Pete, he would block guys with one hand and help with the other.
He was the prototype. If you could take a left tackle and sculpt him and say, this is what you have to be, that's the guy you would make right there.
The thing I always tell people about Tony, and it was one day we were on the practice field. It was when the practice fields were over on the other end of the stadium. And you walked out onto the field during practice, and you looked across. And usually offensive linemen are disproportionate. They're either top-heavy or they're big or they're whatever. And then you looked across, and you saw this athletic-looking guy, and you're like, who? We realized it's Tony Boselli. At 6'7", 325 pounds, he was built for his body. He was an ex-basketball player. He was athletic enough to play it. He was perfectly proportioned for the position, strong. He was everything.
It was... He played the position exactly the way you would draw it up.
Right.
Exactly. There was no flaws in the game. And,
right.
and you know, now with the way the game is played, even more so, a passing league, he'd be even more right. more valuable to a team.
I got the sense yesterday, Pete, from talking to guys, that if it doesn't happen this year, which everybody hopes it does and it should, that there's a momentum to this process and there's sometimes a carryover, meaning – if you get some momentum this year, get among the top 10, get among the top 7. I don't want to say it guarantees you a spot, but it feels to me like his chances are greatly enhanced for getting in at some point by the momentum that he's got right now.
89% of the guys who get into the room eventually right. get in. So getting into the room this year is right. a giant step for Tony. Now, me, personally, I think this is the year he should go in. I mean, look, the class isn't great. There's going to be some other guys coming up. It's not a great class. But not only that, he deserves to be in, period. But if people are going to hold him back, like some of them will right. do, this is the year to get in. Because you look at the class. The class is a lock for LT. LT is a lock. I don't think there's
and
any...
He should be.
No doubt. I think Owen should be a lock, and I think this year he does get in. So
sounds
that's
like
two spots. So then you got to go look, okay, does one safety get in? Is it Lynch versus Dawkins? Personally, I don't think either one of them is a better candidate than
right.
Tony. And Brian Dawkins is a Jacksonville kid. Then you look at the offensive linemen. There's four of them in there. Faneca, good player. Great, not a very good player. Mawai, very good player.
Right.
They're not great players.
I know where you're going next. Talk me through the Jacoby versus Boselli argument, because we've talked about it.
Okay. Joe Jacoby was a fantastic tackle early in his career. He was a big, physical, mauling, run-behind-him tackle. And then he couldn't pass protect as well when the game changed.
80s, and then once LT came in, Giants, Redskins, Jacoby had trouble blocking LT.
He had trouble. I mean, a lot of people had trouble
sure.
blocking LT, but he had trouble blocking other edge rushers as
right.
well at times. So what'd they do? They went out and traded to get Jim Lachey, who was a hell of a player, by the way.
Multi-Pro Bowler, but the point remains.
Jim Lachey played left tackle, and Joe Jacoby moved to right tackle
right.
for 4 years. And not only that, as somebody mentioned, he also played some guard that 1 year.
He did.
So,
all credit to him, a versatile player who deserves to be remembered as a great player. And he was a great player for a great team, but I think the point that you would make is nobody ever moved Tony Boselli.
Nobody. And in 1996, the Jacksonville Jaguars signed Leon Searcy as a free agent. If they did not sign Leon Searcy as a free agent, they might have drafted Jonathan Ogden in that
right.
draft. And if they drafted Jonathan Ogden in that draft, who's now a Hall of Fame tackle,
right.
Jonathan Ogden would have been the right tackle. Tony Boselli would have been the left tackle.
And it would have been the best pair of tackles ever.
ever
to put on.
I mean, the other one with Leon and Tony wasn't so bad either.
Right. It was just as good. So what do you think?
My gut says he's going to get into the final group, and then it's just a matter of if he can convince the younger guys
right.
that he deserves it. It's 80% of the vote. That's tough to get. But there will be a lot of loud, strong voices in that room for him this year.
Right.
I mean, you got to think about it. I've gone around. I know that Palantonio is going to stand up and second the motion with Sam. He told me that. He's going to do that. I know Peter's in behind him. That's Peter King.
Peter King and
South Palantonio. Two strong voters there.
Not only are they well known to the public, Pete, I think the important thing is there are certain guys in the room that the younger voters listen to because their reputation and their knowledge of the game. So
correct. Rick Goslin and
right.
Clark Judge and Ron Borges and Jeff Legwald, they're all there. Vito's in that room. He's a big proponent of
yep.
Tony. Sam's a big proponent of Tony. So you count right there and you get to 10. You know, if 10 gets you to 25, if 25 gets you to 35, then
right.
the next thing you know, you're in. So I do think there's a strong, strong movement for him.
Right.
I'm not going to sit here and say I'm positive he's going to get in, but
right.
I think if I had to lean one way or the other, I think he gets to the final group, and it's just a matter of if we can
right.
convince those young guys that he deserves it.
And final group's a big deal. I wrote in January that I thought once he got in the room that he was a guy, unlike some guys, I thought maybe Jerome Bettis a few years back, once he got in the room, maybe his case wasn't as strong as his name was. He got in, but I didn't know that he was a, boy, dead solid lock. I thought once Tony starts getting into the conversation and once the younger voters go ask their GM, hey, you played against this guy, you scouted this guy, how good was he? I think being in the room will help him moving forward if he doesn't get in.
I agree. If he doesn't get in this year, he will get in eventually. Right. I don't think there's any question about that. I mean, you can't have this franchise, A, be 20 years of not having a Hall of Famer.
Right.
I mean, they were good football teams. Somebody was a darn
right,
good
especially Hall of Famer. There's probably three, but certainly Tony.
Right, and the next case will be made for Jimmy, and then the next case will be made for Fred. And
right.
Fred doesn't even make it to the thing,
which is absurd.
It's a joke. So, but I do think that there's a real push for Tony this year.
Now, the ultimate question: if he gets in, does the anti-Prisco line go away?
What do you mean?
Well,
in
95 when Tony put up the sign,
I took
no
that
Prisco
away.
Zone.
No, now he puts that up on Mondays.
Right.
He puts that up.
Tell the story. 95.
Yeah, it was he and the rest of the offensive linemen. Right. They were angry at something I wrote, as usual.
Shocking.
Probably one of the grades. And I came into the locker room, and they put trash cans around all their lockers and put tape all the way around and put no Prisco zone on it.
No Prisco zone. So times change.
You know what he hates when I call him Deep Throat from back in the day? He was my Deep Throat because he gave me all the information. He lied. He goes, oh, I didn't. No, I didn't. Now the Coughlin's back in the room. He probably.
Yeah. So no doubt. Well, look, Pete.
Get him in. Let's get him in.
Well, in all seriousness, Jaguars fans watching, I think, need to know you and Tony go back and forth on the radio. Certainly the work that you have done over the past 2 years talking to writers, not something that you had to do. Credit to you.
They're sick of me, I think.
But if that doesn't happen, I don't think he has the shot that he does. So credit to you and good work. And back to you, Brian.
All right, John, Pete, thanks so much. It felt like 1995 all again, listening to you two argue about it and to discuss it. And look, there's just no way that Tony Boselli is not going to be a Hall of Famer. Just none. The more you show me the video, the more that people are talking about Boselli, like we heard earlier from Rick Gosselin, who's one of the great football writers in this country out of Dallas. And John Clayton, many of you know from his time at ESPN. And Clark Judge was with the Sporting News and has written about a couple of different teams. The more you hear people talk and then you compare that and you actually add that and combine it with your own knowledge, if you watched him, I obviously did every play that he played, there's just no way. He will be a Hall of Famer. The question is, are we celebrating that this weekend? And obviously, we'll talk more about that tomorrow on Jaguars.com Live. Hey, folks, football has been the focus, obviously, all week in Houston. It has been around here, too. National Signing Day was yesterday. And high school boys and girls signing for football, baseball, softball, volleyball, track, all those sports in North Florida to come down and have an opportunity to just get a big picture look at the business of football as well. A, they wanted to celebrate, get to know these kids that are part of their community, but they wanted to share some thoughts on the opportunity that exists in the game for them moving forward.
I think my biggest advice to these kids would be appreciate the opportunity, because I think so often guys look at getting a scholarship as, well, I was going to get one anyway, or I'm this big-time athlete. And I think some people miss that opportunity of not only getting a free education, but also building relationships that you'll have for a lifetime.
This day means a lot to me and my family. It's something that I've been dreaming for basically all my life. It's always been a dream of mine to play at the next level, Division I football. And my parents, it's been a dream for my parents as well, because they've always supported me in anything I always wanted to do. And it means so much to me.
Just to know that it's kind of a done deal and I'm, like, signed and everything's kind of, the recruiting process is kind of over, and that's always stressful. So it's kind of a relief, but at the same time, I'm looking forward to, you know, starting a new life and having to go to college and be a freshman again.
You know, statistically speaking, maybe one of those kids will get a chance to work with an NFL team and maybe play on Sundays. But it was cool to see them here yesterday, engaged with the Jaguars, enjoying their moment in the sun. Football is what this organization is about, and community. And yesterday they were able to combine those two together. So it was really a very cool opportunity for the Jaguars and football players to spend some time and to get to know one another. So moving along, the Jaguars now focus on getting the fans back in the stadium. They're doing it on the football side. The coaches and all of the scouts are working on the draft and free agency. But from the ticketing side, the renewal push began on Monday. And if you're a Jaguars 365 member, you'll have an email in your inbox that'll tell you how, if you renew by the end of February, you can take advantage of loyalty pricing, which means you pay the exact same price in 17 that you did in 16. And let's be honest, right? You see who's here and working together, Doug and Tom. There's already been a flurry at the box office. People are really excited about what's going on here. And this week, if we can celebrate Tom's return and Tony going into the Hall of Fame, well, look, this is the place to be in the fall of 2017. So also take advantage of Daly's Place and the opportunities that season ticket members have to buy tickets before everyone else, the general public, with respect to the concerts, and the slate is outstanding. So take advantage of the season ticket renewal deadline of February 28th and all the benefits that come from that. Well, it's a shortened version of our show today, but tomorrow we will give you everything you need to know leading into the final 24 hours or so until we find out whether Tony Boselli joins the Professional Football Hall of Fame as the first Jaguar to go in. The Super Bowl is just days away. The Hall of Fame voting even closer. Stay with us here on Jaguars.com. So for all of our crew, Dave DeCandis, Hollywood Hawkman, Joe Fortunato, Pat and John out in Houston, I'm Brian Sexton. Have a great afternoon.